Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Joining me now from Dallas, I guess I'm still in Dallas, is from Ammoland, writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Yes, I am still in Dallas.
Let's kick off with this, and I mean, this is a very timely one because, well, with the resident in power right now, he hearts him some gun control. The name of the article is Marxist Ideology and the Push to Ban Militia Weapons in the USA. I like the way you thought of it. Tell me what you're looking at here.
Well, if you look at how Marxism has evolved, it's split into a bunch of different cultural Marxist parallel systems. You know, you've got radical feminism. You have the woke identity ideology. You've got the homosexual push, or maybe we should just call it LGBTQ plus whatever.
Yeah.
You've got this postmodernist ideology that nothing means what it means, and that there is no reality to speak of. Well, they all are based on this ideology that a small group of Marxists, cultural Marxists, whatever type, whatever flavor you want, are the only one that really understands the world. And they have to take control for everybody else's benefit. Actually, it's not even for everybody else's benefit. They just have this idea that once we get in control and change everything, we achieve paradise. They never really explain how they achieve paradise or why it's paradise. They use terms that are not very well defined, like, property is theft, the idea that no one owns anything will make you happier. It's really a bunch of garbage, but one thing they have in common is that they have to be in charge. I think in the Soviet Union or the places they called it the dictatorship of the proletariat, which meant the dictatorship of somebody who grabbed power. And all of these eventually become dictators of a particular person or a very small group. But in order to make that work, they understand they can't let the masses have weapons, particularly guns. And Mao, who is one of the worst of these, I mean, terrible mass murderer in China, he wrote, "Every communist must grasp the truth. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun." Now, this is a truism. Anybody who thinks about it understands that political power at its heart is military power. The ability to physically control people. Now, there's a very strong part of Marxism that is also control of the information flow, control of what you can know and can't know. But in order to make that happen, they have to have physical power over a country, and they understand that you can't do that if most of the population, or even a significant chunk of the population, are armed. So in every Marxist takeover, all communists and most socialist takeovers, there is a strong push to take firearms out of the hands of the population. And when Mao wrote his line of political power grows out of the barrel of guns, he was saying only the Communist Party can have guns. Now, in the United States, actually before the United States, the American founding fathers understood the political power of firearms just as well as Chairman Mao, maybe better. Mao had his long march and eventually took over a China decimated by World War II. But the American founding fathers had just won a war with the superpower of the age, England. And the English king had repeatedly attempted to disarm first colonists as they were asking him to change his ways, and then the revolutionaries. And the founders wanted to make sure that no future American government would be able to disarm the American people, because unlike Marxists and communists, the founders believed that power was inherent and should be based on the mass of people. Thus, they included the guarantee of the right to keep and bear arms in the Bill of Rights. And they understood that if the mass of the people aren't armed, it's very hard to control them and to subjugate them. Now, the founders understood that the right to keep and bear arms included defense against all threats from animals, criminals, other nations, and domestic tyrants. Well, over time, over the last 250 years or so, there have been many infringements on the right to keep and bear arms that have generally been tolerated by the people of the United States. But there's an important caveat to that, and it is, they were tolerated as long as the infringements were only applied to disfavored minorities. Now, during the history of the United States, the vast majority of people could easily purchase a rifle, shotgun, generally a pistol, with very little difficulty in all states. It was disfavored minorities, particularly black people. They had a difficult time purchasing handguns, at least legally, in many places. But it was hardly national, and they could still get them, it just was harder and not as legal. But even the disfavored minorities, which later on included immigrants from Eastern Europe, Japanese or Chinese, but even those were seldom, I don't think ever, prohibited from buying rifles and shotguns, long guns. Long guns were virtually never controlled in any significant amount, for at least the first film. Up to today, even today, almost anyone can buy rifles and shotguns. But almost all of those infringements were in states dominated by the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's the common thread, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's a common thread.
But even in states where the Democratic Party was trying to and infringing on the Second Amendment, rifles and shotguns were still easy to get.
Yeah. Well, do me a favor. Hold on to this for just a second. We're coming up on the first break. Dean Weingarten has written well over 2,300 other articles besides this one at Ammoland.com. There's others out there that are just, you know, probably near 6,000 articles would be my guess if I'm right about it. I don't know how right I am about it, but got to be getting close. And, about 2,300 plus of them are at Ammoland.com, and you can find it there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Darren Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Darren is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at DarrenTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and we're talking to Dean Weingarten. We were just talking about how the leftists seem to be the most intent on trying to strip people of weapons that would be referred to as a militia-type weapon, which...
I'm just getting to that because for most of our history, until just recently, the only place where you had occasional general prohibitions on even disfavored minorities, particularly black people,
yeah,
from owning weapons and rifles and shotguns, were in states controlled by the Democratic Party. But throughout almost all the history, that was not the case. Almost everybody could get rifles and shotguns and even handguns if they worked at it a little bit without too much trouble. But in more recent history, well, we had this push to try to restrict handguns in general. And it was pushed in part by this desire or the thought that if you restricted handguns, you would restrict crime. And this makes some sense because rifles and shotguns are seldom used in crime. But handguns, because they're more concealable, are used in crime quite a bit. But what happened is as people pushed, as leftists generally, and other politicians as well, pushed to control handguns so they'd be hard to get, they got pushback. The National Rifle Association pushed by its members, I would say, pushed back against it. They didn't want handguns to be outlawed. The vast majority of people in the U.S. who thought about it didn't want a ban on handguns. And over time, what first looked like a promising idea to the left that they could ban handguns, it just petered out. They lost support. They lost funding. And their idea was going to the dumpster, maybe I should say. So one of the things that the people who were in this movement, one of them was an activist named Josh Sugarman, he looked to a way to revive these failing fortunes of the people pushing for population disarmament. So he came up with the idea of advocating for a ban on, quote, assault weapons. And there's a famous quote in which Sugarman lays out this strategy. He observed that the weapons' menacing looks coupled with the public's confusion over fully automatic machine guns versus semi-automatic assault weapons. Anything that looks like a machine gun is assumed to be a machine gun.
Right.
And only increase the chance of public support for restrictions on these weapons. There's more. He added that because few people can envision a practical use for these guns, the public should be more inclined to support a ban on assault weapons rather than a ban on handguns. Well, handguns are by far the most common kind of firearm used in crime. They're also the most popular choice for self-defense. Prescribing, quote, assault weapons, therefore, sounds more reasonable. But there was a serious problem with this approach. It fell flat. The market for semi-automatic rifles grew and grew and grew, and the more the left attempted to ban them, the more popular they became. And much of the popularity, I believe, came from a growing resistance to what we call now the deep state, as people became dissatisfied with the disconnect between what politicians did and what they said. And as people were more and more dissatisfied with the government, more and more of them opted to buy the most effective weapons they could easily get, which are semi-automatic rifles. You might say pistols, too, but as a militia weapon, the semi-automatic rifles are superior. I mean, what we had in a nutshell was that the Second Amendment gained vocal and organized supporters. And we had this 10-year failed assault weapons ban. Then we had a super majority of states reform their gun laws, and they removed more and more infringements. Then the Supreme Court affirmed that the Second Amendment meant what it said. And at present, over half the states don't require a permit to carry a handgun, either locally, I mean openly, or concealed. So what happened is that the movement to ban guns has essentially failed. the public doesn't buy it. It's becoming less and less popular.
Right.
And a large part of that is because many in the public realize that a armed population is harder to subjugate. They're realizing the same thing that Mao said in China. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. So what we have left is there's this handful of hard left state governments. They're strongly resisting the trend to restore Second Amendment rights. And mostly California, New York and New Jersey, Delaware, Illinois, Maryland, Rhode Island, and we have a few latecomers like Vermont, Colorado, and Washington State, and they're trying to ban the most effective militia weapons commonly available in the United States. And it's just bizarre because these firearms are very seldom used in crime. And we even have people in the activist movement who want to ban guns, to have a disarmed population. They openly say they don't want people to have these guns because they don't trust the people with military weapons. I mean, it goes directly against one of the prominent stated reasons for the Second Amendment, to have a well-regulated militia. Well, if you're going to have a well-regulated militia, you want them to be armed with weapons that are militarily effective.
Yep.
And that would be what they call assault weapons or semi-automatic rifles with 30-round magazines.
I use the Department of Homeland Security designation for those. They call them personal defense weapons.
Yes, and that's a good designation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do that very well.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
Hold up
right here, because we're coming up on the next break, and we can continue this, because this is one of these fights, I mean, that is, it's been going on as long as I've been conscious of it going on. I mean, I became aware of this fight back in the 90s. And I remember all of the Handgun Control Incorporated and all that other nonsense that was always going on out there. So, yeah, they've been trying to disarm us in the long game for a very long time. So we'll be right back with this. Dean, this article is at the at amelan.com. It is right there for you all the time, anytime. 2,300 plus others just from Dean by himself, not to mention everybody else that writes there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. President Biden announced from the White House today that humanitarian aid is set to start flowing into Gaza in the coming days. He said he has secured commitments from Israel and Egypt to open the Rafah border crossing connecting Egypt to Gaza. As part of the agreement, an initial convoy of 20 trucks carrying supplies like food, water, and medicine will be allowed to enter the Gaza Strip. The Palestinian militant group Hamas has released two U.S. hostages, family member Martin Fletcher.
Obviously a huge sigh of relief and at the same time concerned that there's so many more hostages.
Hamas cited humanitarian reasons for allowing the American mother and her daughter from Chicago to go free. The mother is in poor health. According to U.S. News and World Report, San Diego tops the list for the highest cost of living in the U.S. The distinction is determined by the Value Index, which assesses one's capacity to sustain a comfortable living in the metro area. John Schaefer, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. Talking to Dean Weingarten. Talking about these personal defense weapons they just can't seem to stand the idea of us having. Bothers them, doesn't it?
It is. I would say that the shade of Chairman Mao, because he's probably somewhere hot, if he could see what was going on, he would approve of this move to try to render the population of the U.S. defenseless. But, yeah, I don't think he'd approve of the results. The results have been exactly opposite of what they intended them to be.
Well, given what we saw in Israel.
Oh, yes.
And given what we know about what's in the interior of the United States right now today. I would say that ship has sailed. Because we
I think so.
Yeah.
So, would you like to go to the bear article about 22s?
Yes, I do, because anytime you take a bear, I mean, I've been talking to some people about bears. I've got one of my bosses is getting ready to go elk hunt next week in Idaho, and I told him, I said, be sure and take something with you. Because when you take that shot, that's the dinner bell for the bears in Idaho. So let's hear about this. Tell me about 22s and bears.
Well, when I started studying how effective pistols are in defending against bears, I really didn't know how effective they were. That was the idea of trying to find out. And then we found out that pistols are very effective in defense against bears when they're fired. But it's with, like with any defensive tool, if you don't use it, it isn't effective. For animals, anyway. I mean, you could have some deterrent effect for humans, perhaps. But what I found that was even more surprising than how effective pistols were was that caliber didn't seem to make a huge difference. I mean, we know that 44 Magnum seem to work extremely well. But we have had a failure with the 22 once. And that was the interesting part. There were several cases where 22 caliber pistols worked well. They either scared off, or the pain inflicted caused the bear to leave, or warning shots worked, or in many cases, bears were killed with 22 long rifle cartridges. And I think that people generally underestimate the power of a 22 long rifle cartridge. It's the most common cartridge in the world, and it's clearly capable of killing men and large animals. About 3 years ago, I documented 20 incidents where 22 rimfire was used to kill all three types of North American bears. Black bears were the most common, and we had several grizzly bears, and I think we had one or maybe two polar bears. And that makes sense because black bears are the most common bear in North America. Grizzly is the second most common. And there are only a few polar bears because most of them are out on the ice pack and aren't really in North America. There's only a small section of American landmass that is covered by polar bears. Now, you do have some in Canada, but I was focusing on pistols, and they just don't allow very many pistols in Canada. So as I looked over and did research on human-bear conflicts, we found four more instances where bears were shot with a 22. I think three of those cases were with a 22 rifle, and the other one was with a pistol. And in all four cases, the bears were killed. Now, one of those, the pistol defense, happened in Montana in 1962. And I'd been hearing about this incident as a sort of semi-mythology, and that other people mentioned it. There was a game warden who had killed a grizzly bear with a .357 Magnum when he was working Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, I think it is. Back then it might have had a different name. And he remembered that he thought he had snared the grizzly bear and then killed it with a .22 pistol. And I kept looking and looking, and finally, through Ammo Land, somebody remembered that they knew somebody who knew about the incident. And I was able to interview Alan Schallenberger. And he intimately knew about the incident because just a few months after it happened, and when it happened in the summer of 1962, he partnered with the man who shot the bear. And that man was Chuck Jonkel, who was doing bear research in Montana, and he had a nine-shot .22 H&R revolver that he carried, and he had a helper with a pump 12-gauge shotgun. And the helper with the shotgun was there to protect him against bears while he was doing the research. Well, they were trying to trap black bears, but a grizzly bear got into one of the traps. It was a trap, not a snare. And he dragged it for a couple miles, and they were following him, figuring, you know, to get their trap back. And they looked, and here is this 500-pound grizzly bear charging at them with a trap on one foot. Well, Chuck is waiting for his helper to shoot the bear. And then he turns around and looks, and here's the helper running off with the shotgun. So Chuck decided, whoa, I think I'm going to join him, and turned and tripped over a tree root and went down. Bam! Well, the bear runs right up to him and probably trying to figure out what's going on here, stood up on his hind legs, Well, Chuck grabbed his nine shot H&R and fired all nine shots at the bear's head. Apparently some missed, some glanced off, and one went into the brain and killed the bear. And now Alan was told that it went into an eye socket, but understanding the geometry of a bear standing over you, I think it's more likely it went through the roof of the mouth and into the brain, which is one of the easier ways to for a 22 bullet to enter a grizzly bear's brain. But since I wasn't there and I don't have the skull, that's speculation.
Yes.
So the next event concerns a Florida couple who endured the attention of a persistent black bear. And this bear kept coming back, and they kept trying to keep it out, and it kept trying to get into their house. This is not something you want to have to put up with.
How big was the bear?
332 pounds.
So pretty decent size, right? Yeah.
Yeah, good size black bear. One just a little cup. And they had a 6-foot sliding glass door on their home.
Tell you what.
And the bear...
Hold it right there at the 6-foot sliding glass door. And Dean Weingarten, according to Fred Reel, who is the publisher of Amaland.com, Dean Weingarten is the biggest writer at Amaland, which is interesting because Amaland is the biggest website of its type in the world, which means that Dean is the biggest gun writer in the world. And he joins me twice a week. I think that's pretty good. I sincerely enjoy it.
So do I.
This article, of course, is at amaland.com, as is 2,300 plus others. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Vietnam immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Time on the firing line. We're speaking with Dean Weingarten, and right now we're talking about pesky bears coming in at us and people fighting them with 22 long rifle pistols. That is indeed a unique situation. So please continue.
It is.
Yeah.
In this case, we're talking about it's actually a 22 rifle.
Right.
But 22 long rifle. There is not a huge difference in ballistics between a rifle and a shotgun.
Right.
This was almost certainly a semi-automatic, and there are millions and millions of semi-automatic 22 rifles out there. The very first semi-automatic rifle in the U.S. was a 22 rifle. And that was back, I think, right about 1900 or so. So, in this case, there's this Florida couple who have had problems with a big black bear. The bear just kept trying to come back and trying to figure out a way into their home. And it was up against a 6-foot sliding glass door, maybe a 6.5, and it was pushing and leaning against the door. Well, this is not good. It's not a situation you want to be in. Well, Juanita Brown, the wife, she was, I believe, 62 years old, had a 22 rifle in a corner right next to the door. So the door, or the bear, turned to move a little bit away from the door. And so Juanita grabbed the rifle, cracked the door open a little bit, and started shooting at the bear. And she fired 10 shots at the 332-pound bear, and very close up. It collapsed within 6 feet of the sliding glass door. Now, that's pretty effective. It appears she was aiming for the neck and the head because that's where most of the hits were. She hit it 6 times out of 10 shots, and 3 wounds were on the right side of the spine, from the front shoulder along the neck, and the other 3 were on the left side of the neck and head, so maybe it moved or twisted around a bit. Because it collapsed so quickly, I think one of those bullets got into the spine or the brain. It was only 6 feet from the door in a pool of blood when the investigating authorities found it. Now, she had yelled to her husband to help, but he had his back went out. Now, I have to say, I used to be skeptical about people with back problems. Until I got my own. And then I wasn't skeptical about it anymore.
Yeah, then you're a believer.
Yeah, that's right. So I could believe that this could happen. So she shot at the bear. The bear went down. She closed the door, went to help her husband, and then they called the authorities. And the authorities came. They investigated. I believe a deputy said, well, we found smudges where the bear was standing on the hind legs and his nose was up against the sliding glass door about 17 inches from the top. And we had smudges all along about 2 to 3 feet above the bottom of the door. So there's no question that the bear was interested in the door and probably trying to get in. And they classified it quite reasonably as self-defense.
Right.
So that was in 2006. Then we have a third event that happened in 2020. So we're getting a lot closer. This one was June 4th. By the way, the bear population in Florida just keeps going up and up and up. They had one hunt, I think it was 2012, right around there. And they killed, in just a couple of days, they killed over 300 bears. And this shows that you have a pretty strong bear population. The bear population is at least 4,000, and I think it could be as high as 20 or 30,000 now.
Yeah.
Because, populations increase geometrically. So this was in June 24th, 2020. And this man had been having problems with the bear coming around, and the bear would threaten his dogs, get into his trash. So he had fired warning shots at the bear. Well, maybe not at the bear, but before, and helped to frighten the bear off. And he said that he fired what he meant to be a warning shot, only it struck the bear in the back and broke its back, in the back half of the spine. So it immobilized the rear legs, and the bear just dragged itself into the wood line.
Right.
And that's where they found it. And so these officers went into the woods, they found the bear, determined its back was broken, and that it wouldn't be recoverable, so they finished it off. And they also found a .22 caliber bullet lodged inside the bear's lungs, but they only found one shell casing. Well, I don't think that bullet broke the back and then ricocheted into the lungs. I mean, it's possible. It's not completely impossible. But that's a lot of energy for a .22 long rifle to have. I've seen .22 bullets that flattened out against the spine of a deer and did not break the back because they were on a more shallow angle. I suspect maybe there was more than one shot, and the brass got lost somewhere. So that was in 2020. Hopefully we have enough time for the last one. That happened in 2023. And this was in South Carolina. Now, this one is probably the least, justifiable, maybe. But this bear was trying to get into a chicken coop. Well, if a bear's trying to kill your chickens, I think in every state you're allowed to stop it. I mean, for black bears, anyway. Now, grizzly bears might be different, depending on the state you're in. So this was South Carolina, and the resident who saw the bear trying to get in the chicken coop figured he had no choice, so he fired a shot at the bear with the .22. And the bear was wounded, but it had enough energy to climb a tree. It's about 35 foot up in the tree. So he called the Department of Natural Resources, and they came, and they looked at the bear, and they said, we need to get it out of the tree. So they shot it with a tranquilizer dart, and it fell out of the tree. Well, 35 feet is a pretty good fall. Well, bears are pretty resilient, too. I know of bears that have come out of trees from that high and then run off pretty easily. But they said that it was injured enough from the .22 shot and from falling down that they felt it would not be able to recover. So they finished it off. Now, I have a little bit of experience because I grew up in northern Wisconsin, and we have a lot of bears up there now. And in northern Wisconsin, a taxidermist says that almost all the big bears he works on have a collection of, under the hide of bird shot, and even .22 bullets in them. because people are using the birdshot, particularly, as a harassment technique, mostly to believe it'll sting the bear and teach them to stay away. But if you're close enough, that birdshot will be fatal. I mean, it can easily be fatal. And a 22 can easily be fatal. But if they hit at an angle, and especially if the bear has a lot of fat on it as it's bulking up for winter, that'll take a lot of energy from the 22 after going through the hide, and it may not penetrate to a body cavity. Or it can be stopped by heavy bone after going through the hide and fat and maybe some muscle, or if it lodges in muscle. Those wounds are often survivable.
Right.
But if a 22 bullet penetrates to the abdominal or thoracic cavities, it's very common for that to lead to death. I mean, it may take from several seconds to several days.
Well, let's do this. Because we're about, before we run out of time now, are you going to still be in Dallas next week, or are you headed back to Arizona?
Next week, I should be headed back to Arizona.
So what about Monday? Will you be headed back to Arizona Monday?
I'll either be on the road or in Arizona. It depends how late Monday, I think.
I understand.
But that's the plan right now.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll figure that part out. Dean and I have always found a way to make it work, even when he was in another hemisphere on the other side of the world. We didn't miss a stroke, did we? That worked really well. So thank you for taking the time to join me this week. I appreciate that very much.
Always a pleasure, Ben.
Yes, sir. Find this stuff at ammoland.com. I'll be back with you on Monday. And between now and then, please remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.